Joshua, the book of Joshua, we want to look beginning in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. As we do the introduction to the exposition, Joshua conquering through Christ is what we want to major on in this book, conquering through Christ. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Well, that's quite a long text, but there's a lot of repetition there, reminders. And one of the things I like about this book is about victory for God's people. And as we look around us today and we see so much discouraging things going on, I thought it was good to deal with a book that talks about victory. Talks about things that are positive and things that are a blessing. I've mentioned this illustration before, but I'll do it again for Blaine's sake. He probably hadn't heard it yet. But anyway, I used to watch a show when I was growing up called The Wide World of Sports. And there was a phrase they used, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Well, the agony of defeat was so horrendous and so awful that I don't even remember what the thrill of victory looked like. I just knew that the agony of defeat was something I didn't want any part of. And it was this knee-wrenching, body-busting crash that this skier had, you know? That's what it was. That's all I can remember. I don't even remember what the thrill of victory was exactly, any details about it. But I just knew I didn't want anything to do with that agony of defeat. And so the Lord gives us here a prescription, if you will, so that we can enjoy the thrill of victory more and more. No matter what kind of opposition we have either. Now, understand that the children of Israel were in a minority. they were at a, humanly speaking, extreme disadvantage. So in spite of the fact that they were outnumbered, in spite of the fact maybe they didn't have all the technologies of that day, God gave them victory. And that's what we need to understand in our day-to-day as well. We defeat is debilitating. I mean, it debilitates you. It saps your energy out of you. I mean, it brings you down. And so we don't want anything to do with that either. But victory is invigorating. It encourages you. You rejoice in, and I like to remember the passage of joy builds your strength, and you just feel like you're filled with energy as you rejoice in the victory. And so I'm just praying that this book will inspire all of us to more and more victory and encourage us in that way. And that victory, understand, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then again, we see there in a very familiar passage there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, it starts out by saying, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword," or I might add in Joshua's case, giants? "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, in the midst of all of that, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Talking about the love of Christ previously. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And there we go. That's a reference to the song we sing about God's love. He is going to bless us through His love that He showed us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual promised land is God's to give, and it's ours to possess. Don't forget that. He's given it to us, and we just need to possess it. That's the key. There's no book quite like this book to give encouragement and to give wisdom for the soldiers of the cross to be able to gain the victory. One of the reasons I desire to go through this book also is that when we have the victory, I was making a comment at lunch today about somebody we know in another state that it's sad, but there doesn't seem to be much joy in that person's life. And what a... I mean, you know, I understand we all have times of sorrow. We all do. There's a time and season for everything. But I don't want that to be my main thing that shows in my life. I want some victory. I want some joy that is expressed as well. So, one of the reasons is that God would be exalted in that. He's really exalted. He's not too much exalted in our defeats, but He's exalted in our victories. And that God would send us a little or even more, much reviving in the midst of the years as we come to closer and closer to the close of the last days. There in Obadiah, only one book, chapter in that book, and verse 17, I'm just going back to Sunday there, brother, when you told me about Jude. Okay? It says, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions." We need to possess our possessions. We may have possessions, but we don't possess them. And that's what we want to do as much as possible in this life. One day the meek's going to inherit the earth. But I'm talking about now. There are some blessings that can be had by us now. Not just so that we can selfishly have it, of course, but to give God the glory. The name Joshua, and the reason why I mentioned this is conquering through Christ, is that the name Joshua means salvation. It means salvation, or Jehovah saves. It's a Hebrew word for Jesus. Joshua's name. We can only possess our possessions through our Lord Jesus. We are more than conquerors now, who loves us with His everlasting love. He gives us this. We are conquerors now and forever. As the song says, some of you may, I don't know if it's inspiration, somebody sing this song, I'm a winner either way, whether I go, whether I stay, you know, whether a person is healed or whether they go on and die, they're a winner either way. And that's what we are. We're winners either way. But will it be a more difficult battle or war than it has to be? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we make our wars that we fight, the war that we fight in this life, more difficult than it really has to be. There's more battles than we should have to fight. And they're longer and harder battles than they have to be. And there's more battles lost in the war than there has to be. And all of us got a little bit of that, don't we? Because we're human, because we're imperfect. But I want as few of that kind of stuff as possible. And of course, because of our sins. Sometimes we're discouraged by others and their sins. But either way, all war has difficulties, but my prayer is that we will have more of a courage, filled with courage, and with fewer battles than necessary, and many more battles won. That's the kind of war I like. If I'm going to have war, that's the kind of war I'd want. And so may God help us to focus in on that. It's a book of conquest, this book. It's a book that speaks of a conquest that should have occurred there in the book of Numbers. But what did they do? They wandered and they floundered for 40 years. 40 years because of their what? Unbelief and their fear of man, which really goes hand in hand, doesn't it? It goes together. Unbelief and the fear of man are awful companions to have. They make us miserable. Misery loves company, right? And they like to ask us to beckon us and to come in and join them. I like what Spurgeon said. I usually try to do Spurgeon's devotions each day, and this morning his was on 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and it goes on and on through that, adding this and adding all these various graces to our lives. And he says, if thou wouldest enjoy the imminent grace of the full assurance of faith, under the blessed Spirit's influence and assistance, do what the Scripture tells thee. Give diligence. And see, we see that in this book, there is an emphasis upon obedience to the Word of God. God's battle plan. We need to follow the battle plan. But he goes on to say, take care that thy faith is of the right kind, that it is not a mere belief of doctrine, but a simple faith depending on Christ and on Christ alone. Give diligent heed to thy courage. Plead with God that he would give thee the face of a lion, that thou mayest with consciousness of right go on boldly. Study well the Scriptures and get knowledge, for a knowledge of doctrine will tend very much to confirm faith. Here he addresses the issue of unbelief here. Try to understand God's Word. Let it dwell in thy heart richly. He goes on, makes some other comments. I want to skip down to what he closes with. When you are adorned with these jewels, and just in proportion as you practice these heavenly virtues, will you come to know by clearest evidence your calling and election. Give diligence if you would get assurance, for lukewarmness and doubting very naturally go hand in hand. Now, do you feel good when you're doubting and you're lukewarm? You just don't. Why? Because the Holy Spirit within us is grieved. And so we quench the Holy Spirit. So we cannot have the fullness of joy, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So we must give diligence. And one of the things I want to look at, and you know, with the love of many waxing cold in the last days, the lukewarmness and doubt or unbelief go together. Unbelief will wrench the blessings of God from our grasp. And so we must, again, obey God's battle plan that He has in His Word to exalt God and enjoy the victory to the fullest. And so we're going to look at three things just to kind of introduce this book. Number one, we want to look at conqueror preparations. Then conqueror executions, that is, executing certain things. And then thirdly, conqueror perpetuations. In other words, to persevere it down. Those are the three things, and it's an acrostic that spells out PEP. You want a little PEP in your spiritual walk? Follow these principles that are outlined in this book. So let's look first of all at conqueror preparations. This is the first four chapters of this book. And we see that, first of all, Joshua was being prepared of God. He comes on the scene there in the book of Exodus. He's obviously born into Egyptian slavery like the rest of the Israelites, and was delivered from that slavery, and therefore becomes a picture of every child of God who was once enslaved to sin and to the cruel taskmaster, Satan, and delivered therefrom by God. He was a servant of God. He was denoted as being a servant first. Before he became a leader, he demonstrated his servanthood. And that is one of the reasons. You know, it's not so much how much you know and all this, but how much are you serving people? He was called a minister in the Bible. He had the salvation. He had the initial faith. He would have never been handpicked by Moses unless he had these qualifications. He wasn't a man that was full of himself. He wasn't a man that was confident in himself, but his confidence rested upon Jesus Christ. That's why he was a conqueror. Because otherwise, if our confidence is in self and self alone, then what happens? We get full of ourselves. We get prideful. And then we end up being our own worst enemy in actuality. But he is one of the ones that's mentioned in Scripture, along with Caleb, as one who fully followed the Lord. He was a man of faith. He had to be to believe that dry land of doubt and fear and wandering. And we see his faith demonstrated a number of times here in this book. He was one of the two that I mentioned that gave a good report in regards to the promised land, while the other ten gave an evil report. He was willing to go against the flow, go against the tide, and go against the grain. Joshua's faith was further shown in this book at the Jordan River. They're in Jericho. They're in Ai. And when the sun went over, was over Gibeon, Joshua was a type of Christ. As we mentioned already, his name and the variants of that name means Savior or Jehovah saves. God had Moses, and this is part of the preparation as well, prepare the children of Israel to enter in the promised land. And he did this by reminding them about the law. And we see that in the first few chapters, about meditate day and night on the book of the law. And this was a carryover from what Moses says in the book of Deuteronomy, which again is a word that tended to mean remember, to be reminded. And so we see that the other way the children of Israel were prepared to take possession of the promised land was, again, Moses picking his successor, Joshua. Again, it's no accident that Moses wrote Deuteronomy expressing the need to be reminded of the law, and we see that thought carried over. And the need of the Word of God to nurture faith, which is the opposite of what made them wander around for 40 years. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is that faith is nurtured through the Word. And notice what it says there in Joshua 1:8. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's not just something nice to know, though this is the right thing to do, but is that it will enable you to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then he goes on to say, Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? In other words, he's dealing with the fear of man issue, right? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for God, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he addresses just in those two verses the issue that the children of Israel had there in the book of Numbers, and that is unbelief and the fear of man. And we see that addressed time and time and time again in this book. We see that this involves not just good success, not just success, but it's good success. It's God's success. We see that also there was preparation made in this book and sending out the spies. They sent out two spies this time. Two spies out into the Jericho where Rahab hid them. And then there was the entering into the promised land by crossing over the River Jordan. And the God splitting the river in two, where they placed the 12 stones representing each tribe of the children of Israel. There were stones of remembrance. And then, secondly now, we come to chapters 5 through 21. Chapters 5 through 21 are the conqueror execution. What is it that they executed? What did they apply to conquer here? The preparations are necessary. If you're not prepared, I don't care if you know what to do, if you don't have the preparations in place, it just ain't going to happen. We've got recorded here the circumcision, which is symbolic of cutting away the flesh. Okay, before endeavoring on these executions, the commemoration, which is the commemoration of the Passover. They took the Passover, remembering the Passover lamb. Okay, being in focus on Christ. And then the coordination, or the plan of attack that's given and executed. We see in chapters 5 and 6, we see them march around Jericho. And we see them, the fall of Jericho, which began the conquest of the promised land. It was God's hand. It wasn't man's doing. It wasn't man's devices. They weren't these, in that age of technology, that it wasn't the catapult that threw the stones and eventually knocked those walls down. It wasn't the advanced war machinery of that day, but they just simply walked around. They just simply obeyed God, or walked around that city, and then at the last time, the last day, the last time they went around, they just shouted and the walls fell. It was obviously God's purpose, and that's so much again against what they did before. They were unbelief and there was the fear of man. Here there is faith. I mean, it takes faith to do something like that, wouldn't it? If you were going to go around a big city like that, and giants and everything like that, that would take some faith, wouldn't it? And it would take a fear of God more than the fear of man. But after Jericho and Ai, it was battle after battle after battle till we come to chapter 12, or all the way through chapter 12, until we come to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, we have the recorded details of the tribes, what they were to receive by lot in the promised land. And then we find there in Joshua chapter 21, in the last part, the last verse of that particular section, in Joshua chapter 21, notice it says something again, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel, all came to pass. The preparations were done, the executions were there, the obedience was there, the faith was there, there was a trust fully in God. And so God followed through. You know, God's going to give us victory ultimately when we get to glory. We understand that. But I'm talking about what's happening now. We want God to be glorified now, as well as in the hereafter. But now we come to, thirdly, the conqueror perpetuations. In other words, in the last three chapters, 22, 23, and 24, we have the spiritual principles of perseverance, a preservation plan. As one had aptly said, we are never more vulnerable than just after a victory. Now, why is that? Why is it that we are never more vulnerable than just after a great victory? Well, what happens is that sometimes we have, instead of a greater confidence in Christ, we attribute the victory to, oh, it's because I'm so strong and I'm so smart, and our confidence comes to be in ourself more instead of Christ more. And that's sadly what happens so oft the time. And then we see that because of that, pride breeds contentions. Only by pride cometh contentions. The book of Proverbs mentioned, as we mentioned, I believe it is this past Lord's Day. And when war from without is at bay, which it was there in the chapter, the war within wreaks havoc and brings devastation. If you notice there in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 15, and they came unto the children of Reuben, that is all the rest of the tribes, and to the children of Gad, and to the half the tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel? Turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord. Now it was fierce language. If you read we'll be going through that later on, Lord willing. What they're saying, if you read the entire account, and it's like they did not even ask them. There was no calm discussion. There was no love that believeth all things. There was none of that. There was a contentious thing, and what these Israelites were doing was not anything bad at all. So anyway, the pride. And then in Joshua chapter 24, as Joshua closes out this book, and most of us know this passage, and if it seem evil unto you, verse 15, chapter 24, to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is emphasizing the foundation of the family and a spiritual leader who has Christ as their head. And that's so important. It's going right back to the individual responsibility of the men in the home. Men, if we mess up, we mess up more than just ourselves. We mess up a lot of other people. And if it continues, it can affect a whole congregation. And I'm sad to say, I think it's messed up a lot of our country. Because men refuse to abide in the principle and in the responsibility that God has given to them. And being the heads of the households. They were dictators. You know, the John Wayne mentality. And that just fanned the flame. That's all it did. And the feminist movement and all the other kind of mess that we have today. So we need to be careful that when our guard is down, we tend to forget in the times of victory that the war is not entirely over until after Christ returns. So let's embrace these promises that we see here, these principles that we see in this book, and fight the good fight of faith with the whole armor of God. For while we inhabit Canaan in this life, we're still fighting to occupy till Christ comes. You know, with only just a few books of the Bible, they didn't have many books of the Bible, did they? They conquered Canaan in just 6 years. They wandered around for 40. But with those few little books, those four books, or five books, I should say, the Pentateuch, they conquered Canaan. Imagine what we can do with all 66 books of the Bible. What kind of conquering we can do through Christ. So whether we're wrestling for a state title, or whether we're trying to conquer our opponent in whatever other way, or conquer a task, there are certain principles that we need to remember. And that is preparation, execution, and perpetuation. And we need to remember again that it's only through Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation. It's only through Him that we're more than conquerors. He is Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is. Moses, representing God's law, didn't. But Joshua, representing Jesus, conquers our sins and gives us the eternal Canaan land. Joshua defeated the enemies to give Israel rest. And Jesus defeated our enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, sin, and death. And we are more than conquerors through this Christ, this Jesus, who hung on the cross so that He would deliver us from the enemies without and the enemies within. So may God help us as we go through this study, that we would realize that we are more than conquerors through Christ, and we can continue to conquer more and more and more as we see the day approaching. So we'll close at this time.